Once again, good morning and excited to be here. We're just one weekend away from Christmas, so if you're excited for that, why don't you guys give a quick shout, make a little bit of noise. Come on. Some of you just got anxious whenever I told you we were just one week away. That's okay. You got plenty of time. You're going to make it. All right. All the gifts you need to buy, you're going to get all of them. You're going to get everything cooked and ready. It's going to be great. So don't even worry about it. You somehow pull it off every year, right? You're going to pull it off again. We are excited because next weekend is our family Christmas services. We cannot wait. We're going to have a lot of fun in here. We're going to have carols and candlelight and just a lot of fun things happening in here. If you have kids in Uptown, you might want to know this. They've been practicing a song all month that they've been learning the motions to, and we're going to be doing it here in the service during our first song, all right? First song, which means if you have kids in Uptown, you want to be on time, okay? So, like, they're going to want to do that song first. So you've been warned. Get here for the first song. Be on time. We've got a lot of fun stuff that's going to happen at the beginning of the service. So you want to be here anyway for that. We're going to have a full dessert bar out in the lobby as well. Just a lot of fun stuff happening. It's Christmas, right? We want to do it big and have a lot of fun. Listen, next weekend is the weekend where more people will say yes to an invitation to church than any other weekend. So use those invites that are on your seats. Use all the different social media outlets that we have as a church. Invite people to come and join you. And if you want somebody else to hear the hope and the message of Christmas, you've been wanting to introduce them maybe to Echo Church or introduce them to a relationship with Jesus, whatever it is, invite them, all right? This next weekend is the perfect weekend for that, okay? So I cannot wait for that weekend. The following weekend, which will be December 30th, is going to be Baptism Sunday. We have a lot of people that have already signed up for this, and I would just encourage you, come a little early that day so you can come and celebrate baptisms with us. If you're coming here to the 10:30 service, we'll do it in between the services. But if you've made a decision to follow Jesus and you haven't taken that next step of baptism, that's your next step, okay? So don't wait on that. Have the courage. Step out and do that. We'd love to celebrate with you. I believe that God blesses you when you do that, because what you're doing is you're showing that you trust Him, and you're walking out in obedience. It's a beautiful thing. We love to celebrate as a church family. All you got to do is mark your connection card. We'll make sure you know everything about it, what you need to do, what you need to wear. All that will take care of you every step of the way, okay? Mark that on your connection card if you want to get baptized with us on the 30th. And then finally, last weekend was obviously a very special Sunday with our Christmas offering. And if you're coming in, you're not sure what that's all about, last Sunday we received a special offering. We just simply called our Christmas offering. And what we do with it is we give 100% of it away to local nonprofits that are making a difference. So instead of raising money at the end of the year, we say, let's give a gift at the end of the year to nonprofits that we want to help and support. And we've been delivering those different gifts this week, and we'll continue to do some this coming week. But I wanted to share with you today the total. So the total from last weekend, online giving here in the service, people are continuing to give. Just want to celebrate this with you. Last year we were able together to give $1,000 away. This year we were able to give $2,400 away, which I think is just incredible. So we more than doubled. So way to go. We had a lot of families, a lot of homes, a lot of people, individuals that were participating in that. So thank you guys. We're able to bless the community in amazing ways. I'm going to share next Sunday all the ways we've been able to do that. So it's been a lot of fun delivering those gifts this week, and I can't wait to share more about that. Okay, so let's keep rolling forward today. And we're in a series called God With Us. This is part three, and we'll finish it up next Sunday with our Christmas services. And we've been jumping off this anchor passage for if you are a follower of Jesus. Like, this is the core of who we are, and it speaks to God's presence. Next Sunday, I'm going to use this verse, and I'm going to fully unwrap it. Now, that is pun intended, and some of you will catch up to that in about 30 seconds. It's not that funny. I don't know if it's going to get much better during the service, okay? So just be warned. This is a bit of a tough crowd today. I'm going to get you guys laughing at some point. You guys know how to laugh. Are you with me? We good? All right. I know where I stand. Tough crowd. Those of you that are laughers out there, you know who you are. I need you this morning, okay? I need you. All right, here we go. All right, here it is. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means, say it aloud with me, God with us. Okay, you guys are there. All right, so it's amazing, this God with us, this idea that God never leaves us, that He is always with us. We talked in week one about how God is with us in the valleys, that we enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we really get to know God in the valleys. We get to know Him intimately and closely whenever we walk through the valleys of life. Last week, we were talking about God with us in the wilderness. We talked about how our deepest need becomes a gift when it drives us to depend on God. Now, we don't usually look at our wilderness seasons of life like that, But if we recognize that they actually are opportunities for us to get closer to God, and it drives us to more fully depend on God, have dependence on Him in our lives, then it actually becomes a gift, because that's what life is actually all about in the first place. We're designed to know Him. We're designed to serve Him. And that deepest need drives us to know God. Today, we're going to be looking at another biblical metaphor. We're going to be looking at the storm. Where is God? Where is God when I'm overcome by a sudden storm in my life? And I've heard people say this before. You've probably heard it. I don't suspect I'm going to get any amens out of it, but it's nonetheless true that for all of us, you're either about to go into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're going out of a storm, right? Life is tough. It's a difficult journey. It's quite the adventure. And so we're answering the question today, where is God whenever we're walking through the storm? We've had some bad storms in recent years across the country and across the globe for that matter. I think it's funny, maybe you guys do as well, I think it's funny that we often name storms after people. Isn't that kind of a silly thing? I did a little bit of research on it this week, and in 1954, this is when it began, that meteorologists would name storms after their girlfriends and their wives. Now, I don't know how this began. I don't know if they're like at work and they were thinking there's going to be this devastating storm. Cities are going to be leveled. People are going to be devastated. I was just thinking of you, honey. You were on my mind. I couldn't stop thinking about you. I don't recommend that. It's not going to be part of our marriage series in February, but nonetheless, they did it. Well, in 1979, it was equal rights for names of storms, and that's when they started naming storms after men and women. And I learned this as well, that in recent years, whenever there's a devastating storm, they'll actually retire that name. So if it was a storm that we attribute to a particular name, they begin to retire that. I wonder for you today, is there a storm that's began to sort of retire you? Maybe there was a storm that you would call divorce. Maybe there's a storm depression. Maybe there's a storm of finances or storm relationship. If you're in a bad storm today, my guess is you're ready for that storm to pass and to move on. So what do you do in the storm? Have you noticed that some storms seem to define a city? They seem to define a region of the country. The storm comes and it defines them. It becomes what they're known for. But have you also known this or seen that some storms actually somehow refine a city? That refines a region. It brings the best out of them. They learn to rely upon one another and they make the city better. That the storm can define or it can refine a place. I think the same is true for us. Whenever a storm comes into your life, does it drive you to more fully lean into God, or does it cause you to question and say, where is God in the midst of the storm? What we often do for a lot of us is we say, why am I going through this? Why has God allowed this? What is the point of this storm in my life? And I have one key thought, one big takeaway I want us to have today, and just a couple of reminders that are going to go with that. But I want to encourage you, grab out your notes. Write this down. Never let a storm's presence convince you of God's absence. Never let a storm's presence convince you of God's absence. So today we're going to spend most of our time in Acts chapter 27. And in Acts chapter 27, Paul is on a boat with a lot of other people, and they're seeing that the winter winds are beginning to set into the Mediterranean Sea, and they're on a small island, and they're in a port that's not really particularly advantageous for the winter winds, and so they're trying to travel 50 miles to the other side of the island that they think will be better for them to park for the winter. And Paul tells them not to do it. He can see what's happening, and he believes that God told him not to do it. He tells them not to do it. Well, they go ahead on with this journey, and instead of going 50 miles around the island, the storm is so bad that they get off course 500 miles. You ever had a storm like that in your life? You're like, it was just supposed to be a little detour. Just supposed to kind of get me off track a little bit, but somehow it derailed me for months, a season of life, maybe even years of your life. And that's exactly what they're facing. These are skilled sailors, and the storm is so bad that instead of going 50 miles, they get off course 500 miles. They're throwing cargo overboard. They're just hoping that anything will cause them to make it out alive. And it says this in verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. The storm continued raging. Some of you might be there today. You're walking through a storm and it's just continuing to rage for you. And maybe you've even given up all hope. That's where these sailors are at. Skilled. They've seen storms before. This isn't the first time they've been in one. But there's something about this storm and they're convinced we are not going to make it out alive. Maybe you're feeling that way as well. As I was preparing for this week, I was reminded of a storm that Katie and I were in, literally a storm. And I shared last weekend how we lived in Northern Ohio for a few years right after we got married. We felt like we had sort of been exiled to Siberia. It was just cold and snowing and icy all the time. And it felt like year-round the sun would not shine. And it seemed like every time we would travel, we would get in these like apocalyptic storms that you couldn't like see in front of you. And it was just terrible. It seemed like every time we traveled, this would happen. Well, I believe it was December of 2004. We were trying to get back to kind of the Brazil Terre Haute area for Christmas, and we were in Northern Ohio trying to make our way back. It was normally a 4-hour trek, but a terrible winter storm. I mean, feet of snow and ice had come through, and we were going to be getting on the road the next day. And so we woke up the next day and we said, let's see if we can make it. And we were in our little bitty Civic, and we were seeing if we could make this happen. And normally it would take about an hour to get from Mansfield, Ohio, down to Columbus. It actually took 3 hours just to get down to Columbus because traffic. Oh, by the way, we weren't the only ones traveling at Christmas time in the middle of the storm. There were millions of others. And when we got to the other side of Columbus, it was like a nightmare that we were beginning to sort of live and play out. Maybe you've been driving on one of those storms before. As we were on the other side of Columbus, trying to get to Dayton, this should be a trek that should take about an hour. The sun started setting, the wind started picking up, and the snow began falling again while we were on the road. And two lanes on I-70 quickly turned to sort of kind of one lane that was sort of kind of there. Everybody was just sort of following the car in front of them and going. And I'm not making this up. It was so bad that the roads were so terrible and icy, and there's just sort of snow embankments right on the side of that one lane that as you were driving, cars would just go off the road. You'd be watching, oh, there goes that one. There goes that one. And you couldn't stop to help them because it was, if you were to stop and help them, there'd be 100 cars behind you. They'd be piling up, and there was nothing you could do. I remember we were driving through this, and we just sort of made a decision that day. We are not driving, right, whenever there's like winter storms. Like, it's just not happening, and it was terrible. Well, as we were driving, we got closer to Dayton, and we were on the far east side, and there were state troopers, and they just shut down I-70. The storm was so bad, they just said, like, you can't drive on I-70. And they didn't tell us what to do. They just said, go south. That was their answer for us, just go south. And so everybody was just going south, and we didn't know where to go that direction because we wanted to go west. And so I thought, if we can get back to Dayton, if I can get into town, I can drive up I-75, maybe I can get on the other side of where they had this blocked off, and we can get on to home. And we got into downtown Dayton, and it looked like it was really like apocalypse now. Like, you're driving down I-75, and there were just cars that were just abandoned everywhere. Have you ever seen that? I'd never seen that before. We're driving down the interstate, and there was just a car just sitting in the road. Like, the storm was so bad, people just stopped and got out. They just stopped their car in the middle of the interstate and got out. So we're kind of driving like this up I-75, and then we got to I-75 and I-70. I don't know if you've ever driven in that area over the last, like, 3 decades, but there's been construction going on for generations. I don't know what they're doing in Ohio, but this is, maybe some of you are laughing because you've seen it. And so as we were driving in the snow and the ice and cars abandoned everywhere and construction, trying to figure out how to get onto I-70 West, we found an exit. We were going up on it. And instead of going I-70 West, we were now going I-70 East. We were going back where we just came from, into I-70 being closed. And there wasn't a car around. Like, there was no light. You couldn't see anything. And so as we're heading back down I-70 East, I can see heading west what it looks like about 10,000 cars coming our way, or maybe even more than that. And so I was like, well, let's get off the next exit. Maybe we can get ahead of them. We couldn't get ahead of them. And when we looked out, there were all these like road graders. You ever seen those before? Like the big massive like implement wheels and the plow that's underneath. There were about a dozen of those. And there were about two dozen plows behind that. They were just trying to move snow off of the road. And then there were these like rows of semis they put behind that just to try to move ice. And all I could think about is, now we're behind that. Like, we're going to have to get off the exit. Well, we couldn't get back on the road. Like it was like everything you think, it was that bad. We couldn't get back on the road. So we were parked in a Tim Hortons parking lot. And Kate and I looked at one another like, this is it. Like, this is how we die. Like, this is it. We're going to freeze to death in a Tim Hortons parking lot. Like, it's never going to end. While we're walking through this, and we're sort of like huddled up under like, coats and just trying to stay warm, parked in this parking lot for hours. I'm not making this up. At some point on the radio started playing, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." And we're just like, no, we're never going to make it. You know, which is a terrible Christmas song, by the way, if you can't get home for Christmas. It's an awful one. It's beside the point. Some of you are where we were, right? The storm just keeps raging. And there's no hope of it ending. You're not sure how you're going to make it out. And for some of you, you're walking through a storm, and it's not yet a funny story that you get to look back and tell. You're not to the place where, yeah, I've seen our lives move past it. You're actually right in the middle of it. Maybe like the men on the ship, hope is quickly fading. Maybe you're walking through a storm, and you can't get out of debt. Your storm is your health is not moving forward. Your storm is you feel alone and you don't see that changing. Maybe you've been trying to conceive for years and that's just not coming about. Maybe you're trying to make a change in your life, but you can't afford education. And you're like, I don't know how this is going to move forward. And I want to encourage you today to be reminded, never let a storm's presence convince you of God's absence. The story goes on in verse 21. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss." There's always that guy that says, "I told you so." Anybody else want to punch Paul right now in the face? Like really, this is the moment where you want to tell us that you were right? Well, he was right. Like, let's be honest for a second. I mean, sometimes you kind of need the person who will tell you like it is. Like, hey, it's not that bad, is it? Nah, it's that bad. It's as bad as you think it is, right? But it's going to get better. But right now, it's that bad. And that's what Paul's saying. I mean, if we think about it for a moment, they're in this storm because of their decision. They're in the storm because of their own decision. And I think Paul's helping them and us see something bigger. Like, I don't know about you, but I have greater faith that God's with me in the storm and that God's going to get me out of the storm when I'm not the reason for the storm. Are you with me? I have far less confidence that God is with me and he's going to see me through it if I'm the reason for the storm. Like, I'm in the storm because of my own bad decisions. And sometimes we're there, right? We just spend too much money. We open our mouths when we shouldn't have. Sometimes we like to blame it on God or blame it on the devil. The devil's just out to get me. No, you have a stomach ache because you had a donut for breakfast and Mexican for lunch. Like, it's gonna happen that way. Like, that's, well, I don't know why our relationship is like this. Well, your mama told you not to date him, and your daddy told you not to date him, and your friend told you not to date him, and the waiter that was at the restaurant, like, he said you shouldn't be with him, and then you open the fortune cookie and it said you shouldn't be with him, right? Like, everything is saying, don't be with this guy, but I can change you, right? There's so much potential in him. Yeah, right. Yeah. Some of you have been there. You've counseled somebody, right? Like, sometimes we're just in the storm because of our own making. We bring it about. And what I want to encourage us with today is if this is where you're often at, like, you're more confident, like, that God's with you when you're not the one making the storm. Let me encourage you with this. Three reminders for us today. Here's the first one. Hope is not derived from the faithfulness of people. Hope comes from the faithfulness of God. Hope is not derived from the faithfulness of people. Hope is derived from the faithfulness of God. And here's why that's important. If you're placing your hope in people, you're going to lose hope when people let you down. Now, I don't say that to, like, make you a skeptic or a cynic and lose faith in people. My point is, if your hope rests on the faithfulness of people, you will be let down. Let's think about it for a minute. Not everybody in the boat was there because of their own choosing, right? They were just following somebody else's orders. Someone else told them, right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this 50-mile trip. They didn't want to be there. Maybe you've been there. Parents got a divorce. Storm, not of your own choosing, right? A decision in a marriage that affected you and it wasn't your choosing. There was downsizing at work and it wasn't your decision. There was a storm that you were now invited into. And if your hope is in people, you're going to be let down when they let you down. Now, here's why this is also important. Because if your hope is in the faithfulness of people, you're going to lose faith when you let you down. You with me? Like, when you let yourself down, you're going to lose hope if your hope is in people. Because you're going to start thinking, well, God will never forgive me for this. Well, you were putting too much confidence in yourself in the first place. Or, God's never going to see me through this storm because of my own decisions. And the reality is, right, His hopefulness, his faithfulness is not dependent upon you. Like, he is going to be faithful. Never let a storm's presence, regardless of the reason for the storm, convince you of God's absence. Regardless of why the storm is there, he's still with you. His faithfulness persists even in the midst of that. You can have hope, not because of your faithfulness, but because of his. The story goes on. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Paul hasn't let the storm's presence convince him of God's absence because he believes that there's a promise on his life, that God has already spoken something that he has to do, that he has to get to. If you read the whole narrative of the book of Acts, he's going on to Rome. He's going to speak in a whole different city. And he knows that's going to come to completion. So regardless of what he sees with the storm, he knows that God has something else ahead for him. He goes on to say this. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. stood beside me in the middle of the storm and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." Paul is saying God's presence is with me in the storm. It's not afar off. He's not somewhere else. He's not just hanging out chilling in heaven on a cloud. Like, he's right here, right beside me, walking through the storm with me. Now, you might be unfamiliar with the story, and so you might be saying, hey, you were reading some verses there, and one verse it sounded like the ship was going to wreck, and another verse it sounded like they were going to make it. Which one is true? And the answer is yes. They're both true. Both things are going to happen. We don't really like that. Can we be honest about that? Like, we want to know, like, are we going to make it, or are we going to go down? Like, am I going to have a hope, or am I not going to have hope? Am I going to have peace or not peace? And the ship going down does not give me peace. See, we usually think that a trouble-free life equals peace, and Paul's trying to tell us that that's actually not the way it's going to be. Like, we're going to have storms in life, and we can still have peace. Are you with me? Here's a second reminder. I want you guys to write this down. Peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Peace is discovered in the presence of Jesus. Now, that's incredibly important. Peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Peace is discovered in the presence of Jesus. The storm isn't over. Paul is saying, in fact, you're going to have to brace for an impact, like a crash is coming. It might get worse before it gets better, but that doesn't have anything to do with your peace. You can still have peace because God is with you, regardless of the storm that you might be walking through. Peace isn't discovered in the absence or a trouble-free life. No storms coming. Now, that's the way we want it, but that's not how God says it's going to happen. We're going to walk through storms. We've already talked about that, right? Storms happen in our lives. And Paul says, have courage. Even though you're going to walk through the storm, even though there's a shipwreck coming, you're going to make it. And I would just tell somebody today, you might be walking through the storm, but you're going to make it. You're going to make it. This storm is not the end. God's got more for you. Never let a storm's presence convince you of God's absence. He's here with you as you're walking through the storm. I think somebody might need to hear this today because you're in it. That God is so with Paul that he would use all of his resources. He would send an angel to stand at his side to let him know, I am with you. And might I be so bold to say, if you're walking through the storm, maybe God's reminder to you today is this message. You're here today in this moment to hear this message, to be reminded that God hasn't left you. Even though you're walking through the storm, you're not sure how you're going to make it out, that you're going to make it. That God hasn't left you in the process. Peace is not found in the absence of a storm. It's found in the presence of Jesus. In fact, Paul, once, whenever he was writing one of his letters to his protege, Timothy, he says something like this. He says, everyone deserted me. Everyone I knew, they all deserted me. But the Lord stood at my right side, and he gave me strength in the midst of it. The same thing's true for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, whatever you're walking through, regardless of the faithfulness of the people around you, God hasn't left you. He's still with you in the process. And not only is he beside you, but he can actually give you strength. There's a story in the New Testament of Jesus and the disciples. They're in a boat. Jesus is at peace. In fact, it says he's sleeping in the boat. And a storm just comes up out of nowhere. And it's so violent, the waves are crashing over the boat. And they wake up Jesus and they say, don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus just stands up. And he speaks to the winds and the waves, and he speaks to the disciples as well, and he says, peace, be still. And the wind calms down, and the waters begin to be still. And Jesus can speak to your storm as well. He can speak to your heart in the midst of the storm, and he can say, peace, be still. Peace is not found in the absence of a storm. It's found in the presence of Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, if you find that you're walking through a storm, that all you have to do is run to Jesus. In fact, you don't have to run, you just have to turn. You just have to turn to him. And he wants to bring you strength. He wants to bring you encouragement. He wants to walk with you as you walk through it. Jesus even goes on to say in another verse that you will have trouble, but take heart. Jesus said this ahead of the storm that you're going to encounter. He says, take heart because I've already overcome the storm. I've already beat the storm. I've already been in tomorrow and I've beat it for you. You might have to walk through it, but you're not going to walk through it alone. You might have to walk through it, but it's not going to own you. It's not going to define you. It's only going to refine you and make you better as you walk through it. Right? The ship is going down, Paul's saying, but that doesn't mean that you have to lose your peace in the process. Paul knows this because he knows he's got more battles to fight. He's got more storms to come. And I would just tell you, the same is true. Like, you're not going to go down in this storm because you've got other storms. You've got other things. You've got other appointments that God has for you. And here's why that's encouraging. I believe this with all my heart. That you're walking through something today that at some point in the future, it's a story you get to tell to somebody else to encourage them as they walk through their storm. That you're walking through it, and at some point you're going to walk beside somebody else who's also going through it, and you're going to say, I was there. My marriage was in shambles, but God. My health, I didn't know where to turn with my health. It just wasn't getting better, but God. I was just walking through this storm. I was walking through this season, and I didn't want it. Maybe it was because of you. Maybe it's because somebody else. It doesn't even matter. But God was with me, and God saw me through it. And you'll be able to encourage somebody else in the process. If you find yourself in a storm today, that's a promise. That's not, well, maybe. No. At some point, God will use it so that you can encourage somebody else because of the storm that you got to walk through. Paul knows, I've got another appointment. I've got another city. I've got more impact to have. And the same is true for you. The storm isn't going to own you because you have more impact ahead. There's more things that God wants to do in you and through you. The storm is not going to be the end. You don't always see it in the storm, but God is moving and he's active and he's with you. So the story goes on and it says this. Once again, Paul says, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith. Now, we've got to see what Paul has faith in. He's not saying I have faith in the boat. He's not saying I have faith in the water. I don't have faith in like how we're going to hit the rocks and it's just going to fall a certain way and we're just going to be fine. It's going to be good. His faith isn't in anything external. He says, I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Exactly as God said it, it's going to happen. And I want to encourage you today to keep your faith even while you're walking through the storm. Come on for a second. We're reading the Bible, so we assume faith into it. We sort of put faith into the story. But I want us to kind of put ourselves in Paul's shoes for a moment. So he's on the ship, right? Like he's not hovering above it. Like he's in the middle of the story. He's walking through the storm. The storm is so bad, it's blown him off track 500 miles. They've gone days upon days upon days without food. The storm's not relenting. They keep walking through it. Paul is going to tell them that you are right. What you guys think is going to happen is going to happen. You were going to crash. But the only thing that's going to be different is you're going to make it out alive. It's kind of a crazy thing to believe, isn't it? And what Paul is saying is, regardless of what I see, I believe what God said. I know what I see, and everything I see says that we're going down. Like, it's not good. We're not going to make it, except that God said we are, and so I believe him. Third reminder is simply this. Faith isn't based on what I see. Faith is trusting in what God says. Faith isn't based on what I see. Faith is trusting in what God says. Paul's saying, my faith is not in the boat. My faith is in the one who made the trees that made the boat. My faith isn't in the water. My faith is in the one that made the clouds, that made the rain, that made the water, that designed the waves or designed the wind. My faith isn't in anything that I can see. It's in something I can't see. And I believe what he said, even when what he said seems to contradict what I see. And some of you might have to have faith there today. Everything you see, the storm is raging. It's not getting better. You're bracing for impact. And I want to encourage you today. They don't have faith in what you see. Would you trust in what God said? So let me remind us of what God said. If you are a follower of Jesus, all of these scriptures are true of you. Paul says this in Romans 8:28. All things, God's going to work all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you future and a hope. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Psalm 138:7, though you walk in the midst of trouble, he will preserve you. So regardless of whatever storm you're walking through, he's going to protect you. He's going to preserve you. You're going to make it out. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Do you recognize what that says? That regardless of what storm, regardless of what valley, regardless of what wilderness you're walking in, that it's still with you, it's still following you. Regardless of how far you've run, you've gotten off course, like you know, goodness and mercy is still following you. It's still right there with you. It's a promise. Proverbs 18:10, that God is a strong tower and those who run to it are safe. Need to hear that today, that he's a strong tower. You've been having your faith somewhere else, and the writer would say, no, he is a strong tower. And when you run to him, and to him alone, you are saved. Maybe you need to run to him today. Maybe you've been off course. And it says this in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, if we confess our wrongs, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Regardless of what you've done to get yourself into the storm, if you confess it back to him, he will always forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Faith isn't based on what I see. It's trusting in what God says. If you're in the storm today, let me give you just two final thoughts. The first one is this. Just write it down. I can't control the storm. You're walking through the storm. Just remind yourself, I can't control the storm. I can't control its strength, and I can't control its length. I don't get to decide when it ends. I don't get to decide how severe it is. You don't know when it's going to end. You don't know if you've hit the worst of it yet. We don't know that. Let me tell you what you can control. I can't control where I place my faith. I can't control the storm. I can control where I place my faith. And I'm telling you, place it in the one that's bigger than the storm. Place it in the one who won't leave you as you walk through the storm. Place it in the one who designed you and developed you and birthed you with great purpose to make a difference with your life. That says this storm will not be the end of you. It's actually going to refine you if you lean into him. Let me give you one more verse and a story and we're going to be done. David writes this in Psalm 46. God is our shelter and strength. Our shelter and our strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. Do you believe that? That God is always ready to help in times of trouble. All you have to do is turn to him. And he's ready to help in your time of trouble. He goes on to say this. So we will not be afraid. If God's there, he's our shelter, he's our strength, he's always ready to help in times of trouble, we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and mountains fall into the ocean depths, even if the seas roar and rage. In other words, if we're walking through the storm and the hills are shaken by violence, he will remain our shelter and our strength. I pray that you believe that today. As I was preparing for this week, I was reminded of just a sweet family here at Echo. And I was reminded of a storm that they have walked through. And I thought it might be encouraging to someone today. This family went to the exact same church for 30 years. 30 years. So they were raised in it. They began to raise their family in it. Like, so their family, their friends, like this was home. And on September 10th, 2017, without their choosing, they were tossed into a storm. September 10, 2017, the denomination came and shut the doors, locked the doors and said, this church is done. This church no longer exists. Now, can you imagine, right? So much of what you know, so much of what you love, so much of where you get your encouragement, your inspiration, door shut, no questions asked, figure it out, thrust into a storm. Now, some of you recognize that date, September 10, 2017. Because that was also the day that Echo Church began. And I was thinking on that this week of how good and how precise God is with his goodness. That he would align that for them. That as something was dying, as something was passing on in their life, that something new would begin to birth. Now, they didn't know the Echo launched. It wasn't like the door shut and they said, let's go check out this Echo Church. They didn't even know we existed at the time. So for a season, they mourned. For a season, they walked through the storm. And then they began to hear about us and they jumped in and checked it out. God had something special for them. Think about that for a moment, even in your own life. As you're walking through a storm, you often assume, well, I'm walking through the storm. God's abandoned me. God's left me. God doesn't have something new for me. This is going to be the end of it. And what you don't know is how much God conspires for your good. Just imagine God working behind the scenes, working overtime so that you can experience his goodness. And he's going to do it to the detail so you can recognize that only God could have done that. What is it today? You're walking through the storm. Would you be reminded that hope doesn't come from people. Hope comes from the faithfulness of God. The peace is not the absence of a storm. We're going to walk through storms. You can walk through a storm and still have peace because peace is found in the presence of Jesus even as you walk through the storm. You can continue to hang on to your faith in him as you walk through it. You can't control the storm, but you can control where you place your faith. So, Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you are a good and faithful God. Lord, we thank you that you designed us with a God-given purpose. You made us to know you and to love you. God, you invited us to have life and hopefulness. Lord, you designed us so we could walk in your peace. You made us that we would walk step by step, moment by moment, with our faith in you. So God, we are coming back around and we're trusting you even as we walk through the storm. Maybe you're here today as we pray, still with our eyes closed and heads bowed for just a moment. Maybe you're walking through a storm. Maybe you know somebody that's walking through the storm. And you needed the reminder today that his presence is with you even in the middle of it. That you can still have hope. That you can still have peace. That you can retain your faith in him and it will see you through the storm. I'd love to pray for you. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand up for a moment? You're walking through the storm. You know somebody walking through it. Just raise it up high for a moment. It's wonderful. You're not alone. Anybody else? Just raise it up high for a moment. It's wonderful. You can put your hands down. Would you just lean into God for a moment? Father, you see your children. God, and they're reaching their hands. They're reaching their hearts up to you. Because God, they're renewing their faith. Renewing their trust that you are a good and faithful God. So God, would you encourage, would you bring your presence to your children this morning? Lord, as they walk it out this week, would they be reminded that you are close? Maybe you just pray in your own heart right now, God, I'm not going to allow the storm's presence to convince me of your absence. Would you say, God, my hope is in your faithfulness? You say, God, I know I can have peace even as I walk through this storm. God, I'm not going to have faith in what I see because what I see is contradicting what you said. I'm going to believe what you said, that you love me, that you are for me, that you are walking with me, you are in me, you're over me, you're beside me. You say, God, even though I walk through the storm, I know you are with me. I want to pray for one more group of people today as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed for just a moment. Just stay still for a moment. Maybe you're here today, and today's your day to begin turning to Jesus. Maybe you're walking through a storm because of decisions you made. Your decisions have led to a storm, and I would just say I've been there. And what we think is that we can be good enough to get us out of the storm. And I would just suggest to you today that you can never be good enough to get out of it. But Jesus died to make you perfect. Jesus died to make you whole. He died on the cross for you to forgive you of your past and give you of your future. There's nothing you can do other than surrender your heart to him. And I want to give you that opportunity now. Maybe you're coming back home. Maybe you're choosing Jesus for the first time. And if that's you, I don't want you to stand up. I don't want you to come to the front. I don't want to embarrass you. I want to give you a moment to say, yes, that's me. Include me in that prayer. If that's you, if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus today, just raise your hand up high for just a moment. I'd love to pray for you. Just raise it up high. Else. That's you. Would you just pray with me? Just right now in your own heart, would you just say, Lord, thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, thank you that you died on the cross to take away my past. Lord, I thank you that you rose from the dead to give me new life and a new beginning. Would you say, Lord, thank you for your grace and your love. Lord, I choose Jesus today and every day. God, would you walk with me? Help me be reminded that you are God with me. Lord, so for all of us, we thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you are a loving God. You are a God that never leaves us. You're a God that walks close. Lord, this week, if we're in a storm, we're going to remember that we can still have peace in the midst of it because you're with us. In your son's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, for those who might be walking.